war in heaven. The distress and the confusion and the uncertainty that people are experiencing everywhere in the earth at this time is not just because of our own vulnerable humanity or our own limitations. And it's not totally because we're in the midst of a global calamity, a pandemic that's getting worse by the day. We're also in the midst of a global spiritual battle. There are spiritual forces that are active in the heavens that have been operating for thousands of years upon the human soul to oppress and deceive and provoke people into reactions of fear and anger and despair. And the list goes on, provoking them into greed and resentment and malice. And these things get imprinted onto the soul of humanity, and it started with Adam and Eve in the garden when they were provoked and tempted by the Prince of Darkness. They rebelled against God. And then came Cain and Abel. And Cain was full of resentment and malice for his brother Abel and killed him. So that has been going on for thousands of years. And in this current world crisis, the spiritual activity of the dark powers is ramping up. These powers seek to blind people's minds from believing in an all-loving and all-powerful God. And it seeks to influence them in their minds and will and emotions. These powers intensify today the sense of conflict and hostility we're seeing acted out on our streets and on our TV screens and media as news reports in real life, not just as violent movies. There is a battle going on in the heavens and in the earth. And the Bible tells us we are in this battle strategically. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." He tells us to put on the armor of God that we can stand against the deception of the devil. And he says, "We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That means we're not wrestling against people on the ground, but against powers and forces in the heavens. And that word wrestle, palo, comes from the same root word as balo, which means to throw down. So our wrestle is one of conquering, throwing down. Now it does involve strain, it does involve engagement and a confrontation. But we're in the place of throwing these things on the ground, throwing them down. And down is the key word. So we're not fighting other people. It is spiritual beings. And there are three major categories of spiritual activity mentioned here. There were powers, there were principalities, and rulers of darkness. Now the word for powers in the Greek is exousia, which means authorities. And these powers influence individuals. They assail people's minds and will and emotions and create confusion and division and separation and blind the minds of people to not see truth, not hear truth. That's an individual encounter. It's an individual mission of a spiritual power. Call that a bad angel, because there are good angels too that are there for us. So they're the powers. Then there are principalities. The Greek word for principalities is arche, A-R-C-H-E, where we get the word archangel from. Now, these forces influence demographic areas to shape the culture in an ungodly way. So a demographic would be the cities, the regions, towns, wherever there is a cultural group or a mixture of cultural groups together under the one governmental principality on the earth, there is a prince power in the heavens. And the prince power is involved with the people on the earth in what would be like a feedback loop of human power struggles on the earth being fed by spiritual power bases of darkness in the heavens. And then the earthly confusion and deception and hostility gets fed back up into the heavens again. And around it goes, so it becomes a self-sustaining loop. Now, of course, that's because you have that particular cultural mindset at work on the ground. But what can happen is another group might move in or be invited in or get into conflict and take over and become, mix themselves with the original cultural group. And you get a mixture of human behavior and attitudes and ideologies and beliefs. And that gets fed back up. And that strengthens the principality, broadens its base. And that sort of thing is happening around the world today quite a lot. And then we have the third category, the top category, the rulers of darkness. In the Greek, that word is kosmokratos. Kosmos means the earth, the world. Kratos is powers, authorities. So the rulers of darkness exercise strategic global influence to disrupt God's plan and purpose in the earth. And they incite corruption at higher levels of government and intrigue, deception, and terror, and tyranny. And much of this corruption is being brought into the light in these tumultuous times. Things are being brought into the open on such a wide scale globally. The name it and shame it, the blame it. What once was hidden and veiled is now being exposed. It means that this activity is getting closer to us. There's more of an outward expression of what's happening in the heavens on the earth because the intensity has increased. Now, all of these spiritual entities that I've spoken about are under the sovereign power of God. Even though they have the will to choose and they meet together and they make decisions, and there's quite a lot about that in the Bible. But these are all under the sovereign power of God, and he uses them for his purposes. So why would God allow this? Well, the short answer is that so that God's people will grow in courage and character and faith and spiritual authority. That's number one. And secondly, that they will be a demonstration of his kingdom power in the earth for all to see. God will be on display. That's the glory of God. And this is one way that he's able to be seen in God's people growing in authority as a demonstration of his kingdom in the earth. We see examples of that right throughout the scripture. An excellent example of that is when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist and the dove of the Holy Spirit came upon him. The very next thing he did was he was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. Powers of darkness came to test him, and he came through as a conqueror. He had the word of God. He had the word. He was the Logos. He listened to what his father spoke, and he knew how to take his place. He knew who he was. The Bible says that Jesus told the Pharisees around him when he was speaking, he said, "I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going." He knew who he was. So God uses these for his purpose. There's also an example of the Apostle Peter when he denied Jesus. Jesus foresaw this. He saw it coming and he said to Peter in Luke chapter 22, he said, "Peter, Satan desires to have you." He could see it happening in the heavens. But Satan was targeting Peter, coming in on his weakness. And he said, "Satan desires to have you and to sift you as wheat." He said, "But I'm praying that your faith won't fail. And when you've been converted in that encounter, you will be strong and you'll be able to strengthen your brothers." So he saw that growth. He saw the courage and the character that would come to Peter after his humiliating denial of Jesus and the shame and the guilt that that put on Peter. But of course, God loved him, reinstated him, but he put him through that trial and he knew he would be taught a lesson in it. So you see, we're here in the midst of a lot of activity, and really there's no neutral ground. Every spirit and angelic power exerts a spiritual energy into the spiritually, emotional, cultural, and relational atmosphere in which we live and breathe. It is happening around us All right? It's in the unseen world, but it is a reality. And we either come under the influence of God's spirit or under the influence of a dark spirit. And we can be equipped to know the difference. As I said, this has been happening since Adam came under the influence of Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. Choice is involved. And it was at that point back there that darkness began to hold sway over humanity. And John writes about this in his epistle in 1 John 5. It says, "We know we're of God. And we also know that the whole world lies under the sway or the influence of the evil one." Now, he tells it like it is. But we have the upper hand. We know we're of God. And please do not forget the heavenly hosts of good angels that God sends to minister to us. It says that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "These are his ministering spirits to serve those who are heirs of salvation." We don't see them, but they're doing things in the background behind the scenes to help us get from wherever God wants us to get from where we are in certain ways that I don't fully understand, but I kind of know that I've had a lot of help to get where I am today in surviving to be here still. There's also the beautiful account in Matthew chapter 18 where Jesus is speaking about the children and he says, the angels, he said, "Don't offend these little ones because their angels stand before the throne of the Father on behalf of them, before the face of the Father." So yes, there's activity in the heavens. So what do the scriptures say about where we stand spiritually in all of this? Well, in Colossians in chapter 1, verse 13, the scripture says, Paul is writing to the Colossians, and he says, "We have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And then it goes on to speak about Jesus, and it says, "He is the image of the invisible God." That word image, icon, doesn't mean just some cutout, some carving or painting. It means the representative of the very being, the very essence and nature of God. That's the living representative image of God. It says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For through him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. There they all are. Jesus created them. And the scripture goes on to say, all things were created through him and for him. So you see, everything is under God. He uses everything that he's created for his purposes. So Jesus, the image of God, representing the nature and being of the Father and his kingdom of light, he is imprinting his image of truth and faith and love upon humanity. That's what we are receiving from what Jesus has done. The image causes us to become the image. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we being transformed into his image. So just as Jesus imprinted his image upon humanity, we also are images. We imprint a spiritual image. See, Jesus imprinted who he was, the light of who he was, to every person that was born. It says in John chapter 1 that Jesus was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. That was his work for his short time on the earth, working his image into us through the Holy Spirit. But when he ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, that work goes on from heaven to us through the Holy Spirit. So we are all images, E-R-S. We are creating, not just being an image, but imprinting an image. We bring the influence and spiritual energy of light into the world. And there are people who bring the influence and spiritual energy of darkness into the world. Depends on what they're under. As I say, there really isn't a lot of neutral ground here. People might know what they're doing, But something is happening. It's coming from somewhere. And an imager imprints that image on the world. Now, we're here to bear the image of Jesus and to release that energy into this age in which we live. And Satan, he bears the image of the kingdom of darkness and imprints his pride, rebellion, and deception upon humanity. Those three things, the root of all sin. Any sin you like to mention, it'll come from one of them, either pride or rebellion or deception. And the dark angels imprinted their images onto the idols that were worshipped throughout the Old Testament. All the different varieties of what kind of rebellion, what kind of pride, what kind of deception. Well, the heavens have many of these powers bringing their influence into humanity. And they were there in the Old Testament. They're there now. But in the Old Testament, they were incarnate, many of these, in the people that Israel had to fight and conquer as they went into the Promised Land. That was the flesh and blood. They had to wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't. We no longer have to fight on the ground against the darkness. That was all there was once, working from the ground. Didn't matter who you were, you had to work from the ground and get up through the heavens to reach God. But we've been lifted up to sit with Jesus. We no longer have to break through from below. Jesus was raised up to be seated above all powers in heavenly places in God's kingdom. And we are now seated there with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. You've been raised together and seated with him above all power and dominion. So we're now above all of those angels. But in the Old Testament, everybody was underneath those heavenly powers. And here's an example of an Old Testament pattern of a spiritual warfare. We find it in Daniel. Because Daniel went into prayer. He wanted understanding from God. He could see things happening. God gave him visions of things, but he didn't know what it meant. And he prayed. And it just kept praying for 3 weeks. He waited. And then a prince power came, a good angel, not the bad one, the good one, came to Daniel and said, from the first day that you set your heart to understand, your words were heard, and I've come. But the prince power over the kingdom of Persia, that's a bad angel, withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief rulers, that's one of the cosmocrators, one of the rulers, the top tier, one of the chief rulers came to help me, for I'd been left alone there with the prince power of Persia. So here was this poor good angel, a power, and somebody of his rank, prince power of Persia, is fighting against him. And Michael came to help him. And this angel goes on to speak and he says, now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the last days, for the vision refers for many days yet to come. And then the angel said to him, so now you know why I've come to you? And he says, and now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I've gone forth, then the prince of Greece will come. Now this guy had a pretty busy schedule. But he said, I'll tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. And he had Michael helping him, that angel. Now we don't operate that way anymore. Jesus has also given us his power over the principalities and powers that seek to influence us. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 tells us, he has disarmed the spiritual rulers and all the authorities. He's shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. But now, what Paul is saying there, what he's describing there in Colossians about this shaming them publicly, that's taken from it's a metaphor of what would happen in ancient times when the king would go out to battle and conquer the enemies, probably conquer two or three different other cities or different kings, and he would make them his prisoners and he'd bring them back to his city. And what he would do, he would parade them through the main street of the city, and all the people of the king's city would be clapping and cheering as the king walked with all of these tied up, shuffling along behind him, shamed publicly. And these people were then taken captive by him and used for his purposes. God is above all of these powers. So we now have a new perspective of our place with Jesus, far above those powers of darkness. God has given us a new kind of faith and the grace that empowers us in a new kind of prayer, with a new kind of understanding that we're partners with God in this reordering of all things in accord with his will and purpose in the earth. We don't have to shout at the devil, but we can speak to him. We can discern what spirit is operating. We can command that it ceases. They are under our feet. Now, this means that we will see the supernatural effect of his working in our lives and in those we bring before him in our prayer. That's why prayer, I believe, is hitting a greater and greater dimension of power in the days in which we live. We pray for things to be exposed and brought into the light. That's who we are. We're bringing light into situations of darkness, and then God brings his judgment and godly justice into being. That's how powerful our prayer can be. So we choose this life alongside Jesus, and that becomes the center of purpose and meaning for our lives. And we will see God's victory coming to pass before our eyes in these days. We will see the disorder and the disruption, but we will also see the power and the work of God, of his kingdom from heaven, and we can be aligned with that as partners with him. Amen.